6. And of course, if you know what story it is in Genesis chapter 6, you kind of caught on to what I said a while ago. I think everybody has heard at least this Bible story that we're going to preach out of. And if you still haven't got it, it's Noah and the Ark, okay? And in Genesis chapter 6. And last Sunday night, we're going through the ABCs. And last Sunday night was the EDFs of the name of Jesus. And one of them on the D last Sunday night was Jesus being the door. And I made this statement that there are obviously doors in the back of the auditorium. And you can do a lot of things from that at that door. You can go through the door. You can stop and knock on the door. You can open the door. You can shut the door. All the things about the door. And I made reference to this verse in Genesis 6, verse 3. We're going to read from 13 on. But in verse 3, it talks about God's Spirit not always striving with man. And of course, just to give you the context of the chapter, God and Noah are talking, and God is upset with all mankind. And said, you know, I've warned, I've tried to bless, I've tried to punish, I've tried to encourage, I've tried to rebuke, I've tried. And so in verse 3 of chapter 6, it says, okay, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And so, in other words, God was basically saying sin is fiction to be finished. I believe it's in Romans, the Bible says when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The Bible says there is a sin unto death in the Bible. And of course we know blaspheming the Holy Ghost and things like that. So there's all kinds of sin. So obviously God was, I guess maybe not here, but here. In other words, God was done. And he was going to destroy all mankind. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So in other words, there was still at least one man. And God's no respecter of persons, and if there had been two men doing what Noah had done, there would have been more people on the ark. But Noah was obviously praying and asking God what he would have him do. He was praying and saying, how would you have me live? How would you have me raise my family? Things like that. So, and all the people of the world at that time that were living wickedly, could care less about God, doing their own thing, eating and drinking and being merry, the Bible says, and so forth, and sinning all day long, every day. God said, okay, I'm going to destroy all mankind except Noah and his family because he's found grace in the eyes of my Lord. So today we're going to preach a sermon called The Ark, A Divine Picture of Salvation. The Ark, a divine, in other words, God, picture of salvation. He drew this picture, or he painted this picture and put it in the Bible. And of course, that's what we're going to look at today. I think all of us know the story of Noah and the Ark, and we will refer to it. But what we want to do is see the picture of salvation. You might call this a type in the Bible. There's types in the Bible. Like we've been on Wednesday night talking about Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. And Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, is a type of Christ. So the story here is a legitimate story. It happened. It wasn't a nursery rhyme. It wasn't a fiction story. It was a true story. It actually happened and so forth. But it was a type of salvation. Well, that's what we're going to look at today, that divine picture that salvation gives us. So in verse 13, it says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. So in other words, I'm through. I'm done. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So in other words, I'm going to flood the earth, kill everything that's on the earth as well, and all of mankind. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of the ark of it shall be 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, so just one window, and thou is a cubit, thou shalt finish it above, and the door, just one door of the ark, thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make of it. And all of us that live in Kentucky know where it's sitting now. I don't think that's the for real one. It's a replica and so forth. And I've been there and I enjoyed it. Anyway, but you can see it. That was the descriptions. That's why there's three floors. And it says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So anybody that's alive is going to be drowned and dead from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. So all the rest of the animals will die. Peter would be going nuts, wouldn't he? But it says here, but with thee I will establish my covenant. So in other words, I make you a promise, Noah, and thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So all eight of y'all can come in. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring unto the ark to keep them alive with thee. And thou shalt be male and female. Male and female. I'm getting stuck there. Male and female. But anyway, of the fowls of their kind and the cattle after their kind and every creeping thing of the earth. And it says, his kind, two of every sort shalt thou come unto thee and to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. So in other words, your boys can eat, your wife can eat, and their wives can eat. And thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do so. And so in other words, obviously it kind of got Noah's attention. You're going to kill everybody? Yes. Except you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. And and so forth. Now this is what I want done. And so I'm thinking that Noah and his mindset was, okay, I'm listening very intently. And any little detail that God says to do, I'm going to do it. And so, of course, if we look at that story and in that context, we said, okay, there is a hell. And people that die without Christ are going to go there. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and make it possible for us to go to heaven. And so then he says a Christian should. And so I want to be like Noah, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Anything good about me is just because God's blessed. There's nothing good about me. I haven't got anything figured out except I want to do everything that God said. Dot every I, cross every T. Why? Because he made it possible for me to go to heaven. Noah wasn't going to, I'm a little too tired, so I'm going to make it about 200 cubits long instead of 3. God will just have to deal with it. He'll be, no. He did it. I think we'll have lots of windows. I like natural light. So I'm just going to put windows all around it. God will just have to deal with it. A door? I want a front door, a back door, a side door, a bottom door, a top door. I like doors. I'm going to do what I think. No, he did it exactly like God said. We got a lot of men today that they believe in God and they say, okay, I'm going to kind of half-heartedly go about this Christian life thing, but I don't know about doing everything that God said. Now, Noah wasn't like that. Noah's like, I'm going to do it exactly what like God said. It says here, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Verse 7 of chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. And for there shall there have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So, of course, what we're going to look at is the ark, a divine picture or a divine type of salvation. So this story of Noah and the ark was one of the most beautiful types of salvation. There's lots of other ones. We've talked about the Moses lifting up the brass serpent in the wilderness, and everybody that looked lived. And there's all kinds of types in the Bible of salvation. This is probably one of the most, beautiful ones. So Romans 1:1, it says here, it was divine in its provision. It was divine and it was provision. So in other words, they didn't get on the ark there and about several days in, oh man, we forgot. No, it was all there. I mean, God's detail to everything that he needed was provided. I want you to make it this long because I know what I'm going to send in there. I want you to put this much food in there because I know how long I'm going to make you stay in there. I want you to do this and this and this. And so God provided with his instructions everything that they needed, and that was a divine provision. Noah wasn't flying by the seat of the pants. Noah was going by God's detail. Noah wasn't trying to, we'll just figure it out as we go along. No, he was doing exactly, and so the provision was there. So underneath Romans 1 is this. It wasn't Noah's idea, it was God's. In verse 14, he said, I want you to make an ark. So it was God's idea. Noah didn't come to God and say, God, I know a lot of mankind get on my last nerve too, and so I think you should destroy them. I think you should. No. It was God. He came to him. Secondly, we see here it was not Noah's design, it was God's. Again, all of us like to try to help God out. And I think salvation would be easier this way. And there's religions out there that have put their 2 cents worth in. But God said there's only one way. and so forth. And so that's we would be a whole lot better off if we'll just do what God said and try, instead of trying to give our opinion, our design, and I think it's better this way. So God gave Noah specific instructions on how to build it, on what kind of wood to use. Again, there's you know, people out there, well, I think this wood would have been better. God just said gopher wood. All right. I don't know if that meant go for it over at Home Depot and go for it over to Lowe's. I'm just kidding. But it was a certain type of wood, and you know, a pitch. You know, I don't know if that was caulk, silicone, whatever. But God told him exactly how to do it. So it was God's design, not Noah's. And he told him what size. You know, I want an economy size ark. You know, or I want a family size ark. I think that's what they had. But anyway, he had the exact dimensions of it and where to put the window, where to put the door, things like that. So thirdly, we see it was not Noah's timetable either. Again, can you imagine? He didn't have a saw. He didn't have a drill. He didn't even have, you know, a hammer. I mean, he had to make all the tools, things like that. And so God's like, look, you just start. And when I say it's time, it will be time. And of course, we're going to see that in just a minute. So salvation is like the ark. It was a divine plan by God to provide us heaven. So just like he had the dimensions and the timetable and all the things laid out for the ark, that's exactly what God did with salvation through his son. Salvation was not an afterthought. God didn't go, oh no, let's come up with salvation real quick because man sinned. Revelation 13:8 says this, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So God knew before we were even here that we were going to sin. He knew that there was going to have to be a Savior. So that ark was a divine provision, and salvation is a divine provision. I read a story about two trains that were on the same track heading towards each other. Now, in our day and time, that would be a text or a radio call, phone call, and we could say stop, or we could send somebody over there to do a lever and they would go off this way, things like that. There's a lot of different ways to solve that in our day and time. Back then, when these two trains were on the railroad track, there was no communications. There was no way to get word to them that you need to stop. Or you need to go onto another track. There is going to be a crash. There was no way to get that to them before they were going to crash. And so the people that did know that, you know, whoever sent it this way and whoever sent it this way knew that there was going to be a horrendous crash. And so what they did, they said, we got to do something. We can't just let this go. And so they got a third train and they put it on the track and they loaded it with hospital beds and doctors and nurses and medication and things like that and said, at least when this crash happens, we'll be there to help the ones that are wounded, that are still alive. That was their plan, to save the ones that were going to be on the crash. So again, it's not even that way. God knew what was going to take place. God knew that he would need a Savior. So salvation, God knew that man would sin. And he put basically that hospital train on the track in the person of Jesus Christ to provide salvation for us. Salvation is not merely man reaching up to God. It is God reaching down to man. Salvation is not a do salvation. Salvation is a done salvation. It's already done. And so a little boy came up to a preacher one time and said, preacher, what can I do to be saved? And the preacher answered to the little boy, it's too late. He's like, what? It's too late to be saved? He said, no, I didn't say that. You said, what do I do for salvation? It is too late to do anything for salvation because it's already done. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross and said, it is finished. It's done. So there's nothing to do to get salvation. All right, it's already provided for you. And 1 John 1:13 says this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So again, it wasn't something that man came up with. Noah didn't come up with this. We didn't come up with a way of salvation. It was already done by God. Titus 3:5 says this, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Jesus took care of it all. Just like the ark took care of all, Jesus took care of all. So not only was it divine in its provision, it was divine in its protection. It was divine in its protection. Protection from God's judgment. Because it rained 40 days and 40 nights. There was a flood, And there was an ark for protection. So one day God's judgment will fall on this earth. Now He's promised, and we had the rainbow a long time before that other crowd had it. He promised us in that rainbow that I'll never destroy this earth again with a flood. But it will be destroyed again. And the Bible says by fire this time. Fire and brimstone. And so just like that rain came for 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, I don't know if we're in for that or not, but it rained 40 days and 40 nights. It did not stop. Okay, it flooded the earth. So all that judgment did come, but the ark was there and those inside of it was protected. So one day, God will rain judgment on this earth again with fire and brimstone. But if you're in Jesus Christ, you'll be protected. It's a divine protection. God didn't do away with the judgment. The flood was there. The rain was there. But He did provide protection for Noah and his family. God's not going to do away with the coming judgment of this earth. He's not going to do away with hell. But He has made it a provision to get out of it with that protection. It is possible to escape that protection just like Noah and his family did by getting in the ark. We have to get in Jesus. Matthew 27:46. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so because of this, God had placed all the sins of everybody that would ever live from Adam all the way to the last person. All their sin were gathered and placed on Jesus Christ. And so God could not look at Jesus. That's why He turned His back on Him. So judgment fell on Jesus that day, just like the rain fell and the floods came up. But the ones inside the ark were protected. One day, the judgment of our sins will be there. And we'll have to die and go to hell if we pay for them ourselves. But if we get into Jesus, we'll be protected from that judgment. The judgment of God fell on Jesus that day, and He took care of it all. Listen to Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So those ones that were in that ark that day, they weren't getting wet. They weren't getting rained on. They didn't drown in the flood. Why? Because they were in the ark. They were protected from the judgment. Anybody that's in Christ Jesus, you've been born again, you've been saved, you will be protected. There's no condemnation coming on you because you are in Christ Jesus. The ark was the protection. Jesus is our protection. I heard a story about this. The safest place, and I'm not a firefighter, but I've heard that firefighters say the safest place if you're battling a forest fire, the safest place in that forest fire to be is in where the fire is already burned. In other words, there's nothing else to burn. That's the safest place to be. And the Bible teaches us that our hell was placed on Jesus. He took it for us. So the safest place for us to be is in Christ Jesus. So not only was it a divine picture of provision, it was also divine in its protection. Number three, it was divine in its plea. It was divine in its plea. I read Genesis 7:1. What did God say? Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. That's what He said in chapter 7, verse 1. God told them to come on in. In other words, He was already in there. Just come on in. And what does Jesus say? Come. Come. So the plea was divine as well. The word come in the Bible is found 1,900 times. 1,900 times the Bible says come. 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 The Bible is last invitation is found in Revelation 22:17. It says this, and the Spirit and the Bride say come, and let him that heareth say come, and let him that athirst come. For whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So just like God told Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, come, get in this ark. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. And that's my plea. And what does He say to the world today? Come, take my son. Get inside my son. And I will save you, protect you from my wrath. I will give you all the provision that you need. You will be in the safest place possible. That is God's plea. God told Noah to come into the ark because he was already there and so forth. And Matthew 11:28 says this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what does God say? Come unto me. I heard one person said he heard a little boy quote this verse. I'll quote it again for you, read it to you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This little boy that was trying to learn it said it this way. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will do the rest. I will do the rest. In other words, God will take care of you. And so I get what the little boy was saying. So the ark was a divine picture of salvation in its provision, in its protection, in its plea. Number four, in its plan. In its plan. God had a plan. And it was divine. He gave it step-by-step instructions on how to build it. It was divine. It only had one door. Only had one door. That was a design by God. In John 10:9 that we read last Sunday night, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, ye shall be saved. So just like there was only one door that Noah and his family and anybody else that would have gotten saved could have went into that ark, there's only one door to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the door. You have to come through this way. In our terminology today, Jesus is the login information. And not only is He the login information, He's also the password. And don't do that. They say don't do that. That's not safe. But anyway, Jesus is where it's at. If you want to get into heaven, you want to get away from that judgment of God in that place called hell one day, you have to go through Jesus. The song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. In other words, it may sound sweet. It may sound like that's the way to heaven. All you got to do is let your good outweigh your bad. That sounds pretty sweet. I can do that. I will not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. All those people that came by and said, Noah, what you building? An ark. What's an ark? Well, you'll see. Why are you building it? Because God said so. Because it's going to rain. What's rain? They'd never seen it. But he just kept building, kept building. And so after that was done, God provided. Noah and his family trusted in the ark. And so same with us. People can come and go and have their opinions, but we ought to wholly lean on Jesus' name. All that went into the ark, they all went in the same way. They all went through that one door. All that go to heaven must go through the same way. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the only way to get in that ark that day was through the door. The only way to get into heaven is through the door. So Jesus Christ is the door. Now, it only had one window as well. And of course, a lot of people have given their opinions on this. Some people said they could see the heavens, so they could pray and ask God to protect them and guide them. And obviously that would have been on Noah's mind that day. It would have been on my mind that day. God, you're going to keep us afloat? You think that pitch is going to hold? You think it's going to ever stop raining? And they were looking up to heaven. And so, of course, we're to do that. But the Bible tells the Christian to watch and pray. So when we live our Christian life, but we're supposed to watch. Why? Because He can come back at any time. So just like they had to look through that window and ask God to protect them and to guide them and to provide for them, we need to do that as well. And always looking that Jesus could come back at any time. And of course, we know that they let the dove out of that window and it came back once and then it came back another time with something and then the third time it didn't come back. And so we see that it had all those things. It only had one window. Only had one door. And then we see that during this time, there was nobody born inside the ark. Nobody was born inside the ark. Now, the point of this is, we're not born a Christian. Your great, 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 great granny could have been a Christian. That has nothing to do with you. We're not born Christians. Well, my grandpa was a preacher. Praise the Lord, but that will not get you into heaven. Nobody was born in that ark at this time. Psalm 58:3 says this, the wicked go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's one principle, a place in the Bible where it says we're born sinners. You don't have to teach a baby to cry and lie. Maybe they'll be screaming like they're being eaten by rats or bitten by a spider or whatever. They're just screaming like crazy. You go in there and pick them up, they stop. What they wanted was you. They were lying and trying to get you to come in there. So Noah and his family, they were born outside the ark, but they had to go into the ark. Any Christian is born a sinner, and we have to go into Jesus. The only way we'll get to heaven is by being born again. We are not Christians just because we're not born there. And Nicodemus asked this question because he was told, you've got to be born again to get to heaven. He asked Jesus, said, you know, what do you mean born again? And I'm paraphrasing here, but he asked this question. You mean I'm a grown man? You mean I have to shrink back down? So, honey, I shrunk the kids, I guess is what he was thinking. But I got to shrink back down and go back into my mom's womb and start this thing over again. He said, no. You got to be born in the water one time. And if you know what I'm talking about, the water's broke and the baby comes. You got to be born that way or you wouldn't be here. But you got to be born of the Spirit, that second birth. You get born again, you go to heaven. Matthew 8:3 says this, except ye be converted, born again, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So all the ones that came to Noah as the rain started and tried to give their opinions and things like that, I don't know if that happened. But he said the only way you can get in is through that door. So the ark is the divine picture of salvation in its provision, in its protection, in its plea, in its plan. And here it is, it's also a divine picture in its promise. If you went back to verse 18 of Genesis chapter 6 that we read a while ago, it said this, but with thee, God was talking to Noah, but with thee I will establish my covenant. In other words, I promise you that you're going to be provided for. I promise you, you're going to be protected. I promise you, you're going to escape that judgment of that flood. I promise you. He made a promise with God. So it is the divine promise. Also, in Genesis 7:16, we didn't go this far, but in verse 16 of chapter 7, it says this, and they went in, male and female, of all flesh, as God had commanded, and God shut the door. He shut the door. And so he made a promise that I'm going to keep you safe. He shut the door. No one that entered into that ark lost his life. And again, I know some of the other religions dog us for this. Once saved, always saved is what they call us. All right? I hate to bring the Bible into it. All right? But when God shut that door, how many of those eight people stayed alive until the flood of the ark landed on top of Ararat? All eight of them. Okay, so if God said, hey, I'm going to call you in and I'm going to keep you safe until the flood's over, he's got it. So if God says, I'm going to give into you eternal life, he's not going to take it back. So anybody that went into that ark, they didn't lose their life. Anybody that got saved and you've got Jesus Christ inside your heart, you've asked him to save you, you will not lose your salvation. God kept all the ones in the ark safe, and God will keep all of us that are in Jesus Christ safe. So those that were, they were absolutely safe inside that ark, we will be absolutely safe in God. And it says here, the same goes with salvation. No matter what they had done, that storm came and it rained, it flooded, it did kill everything, those eight were safe. No matter what comes in our life, if you're saved, God will keep you safe. And there's a couple of proofs here we're going to look at. And God sealed that ark when he shut the door. And if you are saved and you've got Jesus Christ inside your heart, the Bible says you are sealed. Ephesians 1:13, in whom? So in other words, if you're in Jesus, just like they were in the ark, it was sealed within and without with that pitch. When you go and you ask Jesus Christ and you go into him, the Bible says the Holy Spirit seals you. So whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard, in other words, you heard the gospel, you heard the word of God, the Holy Spirit convicted you, you have to be drawn to the Holy Spirit, and then you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit seals you. Once you've heard the word of truth, of the gospel, of your salvation, in whom, Jesus again, after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you got sealed, that's God's promise. God promised Noah and his family, I'm going to keep you saved and sealed inside this ark till it's over. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and he saves you, I'm going to save you and keep you saved till you see Jesus in heaven. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, we're supposed to do what the Holy Spirit says after we're saved, but not to get saved and not to even keep ourselves saved. But it says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. In other words, till Jesus comes back. The Holy Spirit's got you. So just like they were safe inside that ark, that was God's promise. We're saved inside Jesus till he comes back. And not only did we see here that we're saved and sealed inside the Holy Spirit, we're also, the Bible says, we're inside God's hands. John 8:28, and I will give unto you eternal life. That's pretty much forever. Not pretty much, it is forever. And ye shall never perish. In other words, you're not gonna drown inside that ark, Noah, family. You're gonna be safe inside there. And if you get saved, I will give you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. So just like they were saved and sealed inside the ark, we're saved and sealed inside the Holy Spirit. We're saved and sealed inside of God's hand. And in the next one we see here, we're safe in God's arm. You can go through the Bible and look at all the verses where it talks about God's arm. It talks about a strong arm. It talks about a mighty arm. It talks about a loving arm. But we are safe inside His arm. But then not only are we safe as His, not only are we safe in His arms, we're safe as His arm. Listen to what Ephesians 5:30 says. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. So just like God's going to take care of Jesus, He's going to take care of us. We're as members of His body. So the ark was divine in its picture of salvation, in its provision, in its protection, in its plea, in its plan, in its promise, and here's the last one, in its proclamation. It was divine in its proclamation. In other words, God said, Noah, I'm destroying the earth. He was making a proclamation. Noah, you found grace in my eyes. Proclamation. Noah, I'm going to have you build that ark, and when you do, I'm going to put you in there, and I'm going to shut that door, and I'm going to keep you safe. God was making a proclamation. This is what God said. In Genesis 7:1, He said, come. That was His proclamation. Come, and all you in your house. In verse 4, it says this, and yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth for today, for 40 days and 40 nights. So here's God's proclamation after He told him, I'm going to destroy. You found grace in my eyes. We're going to build an ark, and I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to provide for you, all this kind of stuff. And then He said, after 7 days, 7 days, Noah, on the seventh day, I'm going to make it start raining. So in other words, that was God's proclamation. This is it. And so, of course, I'm sure Noah and even the ones that heard Noah and didn't believe Noah and things like that, they felt that first drop. Okay, God said He was going to do this. And it went from that first drop to 40 days and 40 nights of billions of drops. Flooded the earth. So in other words, God did what He said. It was a divine in His proclamation. So at the end of that 7 days, they all said, this is the day. Get in. That's what He said. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So just like God told Noah and Noah told his seven that was coming in there with him, today's the day. God said, in 7 days, I'm going to start raining. It's time to go. They went in. Boom, God shut the door. So when a person hears the gospel and hears that, hey, this is the only way to get to heaven, that's God's proclamation. You found grace in my eyes. I gave you my son. I gave you the provision. I will give you the protection. You ask Him to save you, and you will be shut into salvation forever and ever. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A lot of people that I witness to, you know, do you understand sin? Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Do you understand Jesus? I've heard that story. I know. And you know, what you need to do is ask Him to save you and you go to heaven. I get it. But not today. Not now. Not this. Obviously, if any of those eight that were on the ark said, not today, I'm going to wait until the eighth day to get in the ark. Wrong answer. The door was shut. And so the Bible says in Genesis 6:3, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. I don't know when it is. I don't know how many opportunities God's going to give each individual. But we see that the principle is there. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't put it off. Do it now. And so that's what they did. And so that's why we see that this ark, it was a divine picture of salvation. The Bible says accepted time is today. Boast not of tomorrow. So just like the ark was the place for safety for Noah and his family, in Jesus Christ is a place for safety for you and your family. Each member of Noah's family had to walk in on their own They could have stayed out, but they all had to go in. So just because my granny was saved doesn't mean I'm saved. Just because my daddy was saved doesn't mean I'm saved. I had to get saved just like they did. And so the picture of salvation is right there in the ark. It'll keep you from that destruction. It'll keep you from hell. It'll provide for you, protect you. And where's that plea and that proclamation? God says, come. Come. Don't put it off. Do it today. And then, obviously, they had what they went through. I'm sure that it got monotonous. You've been over there probably, and you've seen how they think that it might have worked with all the scooping of the poop and all the cleaning and all the feeding. And I believe how many each of those eight would have to feed this many animals a day. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure it got monotonous. But they were glad that they were inside the ark when the rain came and when the flood came. And sometimes, Christianity, you got to go to church, you got to read your Bible, you got to pray, you got to serve God, you got to do this, you got to do that. But can you imagine when we get to heaven, how excited we will be and how happy we will be that we were in Christ? And we dotted the I's and crossed the T's and did what we were supposed to do in the Christian life. So when that ark landed on Mount Ararat and the dove didn't come back and God opened the door, they might have been happy that no more scooping, no more this, no more feeding that and things like that. But then they had to start doing something else, building houses and building. So our job's never over. When we get to heaven, we're just going to do a different job, praise Jesus all day long. So there's a great picture of salvation in the ark. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for putting this story in the Bible. And Lord, we thank you for bringing all the insight about how that they were in the ark and they were safe. And if we can get in you, we'll be safe from hell. And Lord, all the comparisons that we saw today. And Lord, I just ask you, if there's somebody here today that does not know for 100% sure that they're going to heaven, Lord, help them to realize that they had, after that 7 days, the rain started. They had to get in. Today is the day of salvation. So Lord, I just ask you to help them to know if they're not saved, that they need to be saved. Lord, I just ask you to draw. And Lord, if they would, they'd like to come, we could take the Bible and show them how they could be saved today. And Lord, if there's something else that you spoke to someone's heart about and they need to come pray today, Lord, help them to do that. Lord, help them to come have a relationship with you and a fellowship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek is going to lead us. If you need to be saved, come get saved. If you need to come pray, come pray. Altar's open.